Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's video. I'm glad to be here today, and I wish that I could see you. I miss you guys. I know you can see me, and I guess I'll have to be satisfied with that. Before we get started, we're going to pray before we join Angela for our worship time. So if we would, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with us. Though we not be together, Lord, we are still gathering, even though electronically. We pray that the words that go forth are meaningful. Lord, we pray that you guide me in all that I say and that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to hear and to gather what you would have for us. This we pray and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us join Angela in worship.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am
This morning, the title is Reconnoiter. So we're going to let good old Uncle Larry take you on a simple-minded stroll down Reconnoiter Lane. First, as Jim so eloquently pointed out last week, I love definitions, so I know that we're speaking the same language. The word reconnoiter, it's an old-timey phrase, old-timey word, but it means to inspect, observe, or survey. So the question I want to start off with is, have you ever heard the saying to bend a knee, or thought about the bowing of the head, or maybe you've heard you need a humble heart? I have, which led me to reconnoiter some of the things that are done in regards to belief and to a degree ceremonially perform. They are physical positioning aspects to praying, worshiping, and gathering together. And I thought of these three phrases and the parts of the body that seem to be used to demonstrate these particular functions of faith. The knee, the neck, and the heart. Now, I'm no doctor, nor do I play one on TV, but I can say these components of our physical body are used in everyday life for a variety of activity. These activities vary from necessity to recreation and everywhere in between. First, to look at this everyday use for the knee, the neck, and the heart. Most of the activity we rarely consider because we are so used to performing them with little to no consideration, no thought. As I am learning as I age, as some know that with age or other afflictions, some may need to do a little more convincing to get the same or similar results, and some to no avail. But never mind that aspect. I choose to look at the normal function and the normal result to illustrate my point. All the normal functions of these parts are incredibly amazing, if you were to give it a thought. Now, again, I'm no doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night. About the knee, just a few thoughts on the knee. As I was thinking about this, these are my own words. I'm not going to go to a medical anatomy class and get too deep into that. But I've noticed that the knee is a powerful mechanism. It's designed to take the energy from the muscle and release it through a bending motion for running, jumping, climbing, walking, and so on. The knee allows us mobility by its flexibility, for maneuverability, for all sorts of activity. How amazing the knee is, and it is mostly overlooked until some of its ability is lost. Reconnoiter, the most amazing application of the knee, has little to do with agility. The bending of the knee may just be its best offering, to kneel. Not the physical action of bending the knee so much, but the representation. The saying from early times to bend a knee was to bend a knee to the ground as a gesture of deep respect for a superior, a noble, a king, by going down on one knee. The gesture of bending a knee to God in reverence, respect, submission, and worship. We know when it's all said and done, no one will escape the truth and will pay homage to God. As we look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. We'll go on to look at the neck. As for the neck, well, I think you're following the trend here, but it is also amazing, particularly when functioning as designed and its motion is mechanical. It is phenomenally intricate. The neck allows us to look up, to look down, and of course, to look all around. The neck can tip the head back so we can feel the warm sun on our faces. The neck rotates the head to the right and to the left and vice versa, so we may see all around and that we may catch an aroma from the barbecue or the fragrance from the flowers of spring, or even hone our focus so that we may hear the tunes of the songbirds. There are so many wonders of the neck. It allows us to communicate ideas without speaking a word, with a tilt of the head, a nod, or a shake back and forth. Again, it's not the most powerful aspect of the neck. The most powerful offering the neck has is the tilt of the head forward, the bowing of the head. To bow the head takes on many meanings. To some, it's a form of greeting. Others, it's a sign of respect and used to express deference, sincerity, humility, and even remorse. To bend the neck so that you are looking at the ground, especially to show respect for God. Now, after Moses had chiseled out the two stone tablets he was to write the commandments on, he was allowed to see the glory of God, and God showed it to him. After this, God proclaimed his name, and after he passed by Moses, we see Moses' reaction in Exodus 34, verse 8. It simply says, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Now, before we get much further, Jesus never instructed anyone to bow their heads or close their eyes for prayer. He was more interested in their hearts than their physical posture. If we look at the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, we will see. Luke 18, beginning in verse 10 through verse 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. See, we see the Pharisee and the tax collector are praying. We see that humility can be displayed in one's actions. The Pharisee bragged in his prayer, and he was better than others, even the tax collector nearby. He also boasted of his fasting. The tax collector was so humbled and grieved in his sin that he couldn't even look towards heaven and called himself a sinner. Jesus called the tax collector humble and justified before God. The most important matter is the one of the heart. In Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. See the heart. We're getting to the heart of the matter. Well, the heart is so highly regarded, and rightfully so. We can live without mobility of the knee, and we can get by without full movement of the neck. But the heart? Without the heart, without the muscle that circulates the life-giving source of blood throughout the entire body, without the pumping of the heart, there is no life. No part of the body can sustain life without the life-delivering organ known as the heart. We need to have a heart to live. The heart has to be alive in order to sustain the body. Gee, thanks, Captain Obvious. Again, the greatest attribute is beyond the physical. The heart that is humble, that is truly the alive heart. A heart's humility is its most powerful attribute. You see, a heart can pump blood and sustain life for its body, but cannot reproduce life. A stubborn heart can keep its host alive, but cannot connect to others. A bitter heart can maintain existence and simultaneously shoot flaming arrows that damage and destroy. Now, Jesus promised abundant life for those who believe in him and call on his name. The hard, stubborn, or bitter heart's problem keeps the individual and even the church anemic and in the state of survival, which is not to be confused with living. The difference is between existing and flourishing. A humble heart overcomes, it encourages, it stabilizes, and introduces new life. A humble heart lives, and through its actions, brings new life and potential to flourish. The church as a whole has a heart, and the heart of the church is no different than the heart of an individual. Both need to mimic the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus offered up his heart for humanity. He sacrificed himself to demonstrate the heart of the Father. He withheld nothing, and his heart beats today with the same passion and love for us as it did from the beginning of time. Humility of the heart is being honest with ourselves and others, and expressing our gratitude and respect for all involved. It is the state of being humble. Humility and humble have their origin in the Latin word humilis, meaning low. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." See, humility, which people don't often relate it to, but it's actually freeing. It's freedom from pride. It is freedom from arrogance. It is, as we call Jesus, meekness. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 5 through verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If I was to add to that, I would say, "Blessed are the considerate, for they are of humble heart." This would be a good time to reflect on your post, the place or station of life you are in. It may or may not be the most pleasant of circumstance, but it could be the very opportunity to choose to promote or exalt our Lord. Without thought or consideration, we are more than capable of minimizing growth or destroying in others the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, for the record, I'm not negative Nelly today. I am very encouraged from the opportunities that I've had recently to cultivate relationships. There has been a lot of distractions that have been removed from my life through the new normal. There's been a few new ones added, of course. But via phone calls that I have made or texts that I have sent, plus those that I have received, they have lifted me up in spirit. These conversations, honestly, they probably would not have been my pleasure to experience otherwise. Yes, there is the same opportunity to indulge in frustration, anxiety, and all sorts of negative talking. But is that what is needed? We as followers are called to sow seeds, but not of fear or uneasiness. As for me, your old Uncle Larry, if you have a conspiracy theory, don't share it with me. Let the facts talk and the unknown be silent. Thank you. I remember something Adrian Rogers said years ago, and it's profoundly affected my life. And it's so simple. And you may have heard me say this before, but he was talking about the rules of talking. First rule, is it true? Have you verified its authenticity? Number two, does it need to be said? Does it have a value? And number three, does it lift someone up? Does it encourage? If it does not line up with all three, keep it to yourself. I like that. You know, I am reminded of some verses from a song that we have sung many times here at New Hope. And I hope soon we can sing them together again. I don't know the name of the song. I'm not good with that. But I do remember this phrase, and relax, I'm not going to sing. It's your breath in my lungs. So I pour out your praise, pour out your praise. In answer to that, I say, let the breath in the lungs honor God in humility. With humility in the heart, we can honor him. And because of the humility of the heart, we will bend the knee and bow the head. For humility is a form of worship, respect, and love that we have for him. Amen? My hope is that when we now read or hear any of these phrases, bend the knee, bowing the head, and humble heart, that we will recall the deeper meaning with reverence and consideration, that we will reconnoiter. It is not the physical action that has worth, but the internal posture that produces the physical action. We serve a great God, a merciful God, a most gracious God, that through his perfection, by his immense creativity, because of his love for us, he cared enough to make a way to rescue a people to call his own, to provide a way that produces and regenerates life out of sure death, so that those who choose him may be his reflection and his representation in a dying world. Proverbs 22:41. Humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor to life. From the very beginning until his return, remember, it is his plan and our commission. It begins with humility. That is what bows the heart. That is what bends the knee. That's what bows the head, which produces opportunity to fulfill his purpose, which is his design. And I close with Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that these words are fruitful, that you, Lord, would guide us and keep us, Lord. We pray for every physical need, every emotional need, and every spiritual need within this body and every Bible-believing church. We lift you up because you are worthy. You are the great I Am, and we come before you today with expectant hearts And we walk away today, we pray, we are filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we leave all things before you. Amen. Now let us join Angela for a worship song in closing. Until we meet again, God bless.